Thanks for joining us for the Sermon Podcast for Cornerstone Community Church in Galax, Virginia. In this series, we're looking at why the cross is necessary so that we can better understand the incredible love of Christ. This series prepares us for Easter, and we are also providing weekly devotionals and guides for fasting that you can find on our website at mycornerstone.org. We also invite you to join us in person at 9:15 or 11 a.m. each and every Sunday. Thanks for joining in.
Well, good morning and welcome to Cornerstone on this crazy Sunday morning. I'm so glad to see you guys here. I'm glad that many of you are tuning in online as well. We welcome you and have glad you've joined us today. I just returned from an incredible trip this week. I was able to spend the week working with pastors in Nicaragua and Honduras. It's hard to believe that yesterday morning I was 1,700 miles away and the temperature was 101 degrees. But we had a great week. We really were able to do a lot of good ministry this week, and it was really just an amazing time to spend with the Lord this week. I had limited internet this week, so you can imagine every time I checked online, it was like it was just crazy this week. Things were changing literally by the hour all week. And so I know there's a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things changing. And we also know that the world that I return to is drastically different this week than it was last week, right? And so as a church, we still are in that period of uncertainty. If the virus kind of comes in this area, we know that we can experience a lot more changes. And as a church, we'll kind of watch what's happening. So things may change even next week. We'll just kind of play it by ear. And as we study and pray and seek what the best thing is for our community. But here's what I do know. I think God has uniquely positioned us as a church to be the church in a time like this. And so with our technology, it doesn't matter if we're here. It doesn't matter if we're online. We're still the church, right? And so I just know that over these next few weeks, we are going to have some incredible opportunities. Now, a few announcements in your bulletin I just probably need to correct. We were going to have a big youth worship night tonight, but with all the stuff going on, we decided to postpone that. And also, Brandy was going to have a meeting with those helping with the children's event coming up. And we're going to postpone that a little bit until we get a little more certainty on what, you know, how everything plays out. But I did want to take just a minute, and Randy's going to do the message today. I wasn't sure if I was going to make it back or not, but I wanted to just kind of say, where do we go from here? And a couple of things. As a church, one, we need to pray. We need to pray for our city. We need to pray for our state, our nation, our world that we live in, and we just really need to pray. And one thing is I've seen over these last few days is, this is something that we need to be concerned about, right? It's not something we just joke about or dismiss. This is something we need to take seriously. So we need to pray. I do think as a church, like I said, we're uniquely positioned for such a time as this. And I know we've got the ability to live stream each week, and we've been doing that for a while. And I did want to mention this. If you know of a church that's not able to meet and they don't have the technology ability to record their sermons or live stream their sermons or any of that, get them in contact with us and we'll help them. They can come here and record their message during the week so they can share it. We can help them set up and get it done. But I would love to be able to bless some other churches and help them in this time as well. We also will be posting a few things on Facebook and our website. It's kind of interesting. Last week, our fast was on TV and movies. I don't know how well that worked out for you this week. But this week, it's on social media. I share that knowing that with all the craziness, you've got a choice for how you fast through this, but maybe it's what we're really talking about is just this endless scrolling, reading everything that's coming up on Facebook and Instagram. That's what we need to cut out. and spend it with time doing meaningful things. And if you want to read devotions or watch sermons, then that's not like social media, right? I mean, we're talking about just the time you waste mindlessly on social media. In a time like this, we do encourage you, and if you're not able to attend, ministry keeps occurring. And so we are in a great position as a church financially with reserves and all of that. But here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to stop doing ministry. I don't want to cut ministry in a time like this. In times like this is when we increase what we do. It's when we increase our outreach to the community. So and let me encourage you, if you've not tried online giving, it's a great time to do it. We've got an app called Tithely you can download, and you just choose Cornerstone, and it's really simple to use. You can even mail your checks, if you still do that, to our P.O. box, and you can do it that way. You can go to our website and give through that, but that's a way to continue to support what we do here as a church. And then finally, we've been talking for a long time about doing a kind of a midweek podcast to kind of recap the sermon and talk about upcoming opportunities. Our plans just got accelerated, so we're going to start that this week. So we're going to get that going this week. We'll have that on the website and social media and all that too, so you'll be seeing some stuff about that this week. So lots of stuff going on. Youth and children's ministry will be posting updates. So this is just such a fast-changing world we live in right now with all this stuff going on that it's communication is going to be important. We're going to do the best we can to communicate to you in a timely manner. And then I want to share with you a verse. So we just came out of a series on the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, I don't know if you remember this verse. It said, it's in verse 4. It says, don't look out for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. And I feel like with all of this going on in the world around us, the world's telling us, oh, you've got to go, you've got to buy 6 months worth of toilet paper, and you've got to get all the food, and it's all about self-preservation, right? It's all about, it's how we can take care of ourselves. Well, what the gospel says is we need to take an interest in others too. And this is an opportunity for the church to be the church. And so I want to challenge all of us. Will we take time this week to look for ideas and opportunities to engage the people around us? Not just to isolate yourself, but to think about how you can reach out to those who may need help. If you have an elderly neighbor that doesn't need to get out, call them and say, can I go to the store for you and bring you something? And just check on them. If you have, with all the schools being out, thinking of how you can help the parents and the kids, and maybe there's a family that doesn't have food during the day, you can get them some food and help them. Or maybe if there's a family that's out of work because of this, you can think of how you can bless them or help them. This is an opportunity for us to do ministry. We need to be praying and supporting our healthcare workers, our first responders. We need to be thinking about how we can reach out to those in the nursing homes who are not able to have guests. Do we send cards? Do we make phone calls? There's so many opportunities. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do. We actually, this morning, just created an email address, ideas@mycornerstone.org. ideas@mycornerstone.org. And with that email, if you have an idea for something we can do, or you want to kind of head up a ministry and with all this going on around us, if you send it to that, we'll help you make it happen. And so that's what we want to do this week. We want to be looking for ways we can engage our community for Christ. So you can let us know. This really is an opportunity to be the church. John 14:27 says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and peace of heart, and the peace I give you, the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. And so I think that's a word from Jesus that we need to remember this morning. That peace of mind that we need is what only he can give us. And I don't know if you know, but that the president had called for today to be a day of prayer. And I just wanted to read a little part of that statement of what for prayer for our country. And then we want to pray this morning, then Randy will come up. But this is what it says. It says, in our times of greatest need, Americans have always turned to prayer to help guide us through trials and periods of uncertainty. As we continue to face the unique challenges posed by the coronavirus pandemic, millions of Americans are unable to gather in their churches. But in this time, we must not cease asking God for added wisdom, comfort, and strength And we must especially pray for those who have suffered harm or who have lost loved ones. I ask you to join me in a day of prayer for all people who have been affected by the coronavirus pandemic and to pray for God's healing hand to be placed on the people of the nation. As your president, I ask that you pray for the health and the well-being of your fellow Americans and to remember that no problem is too big for God to handle. We should also take heart the holy words found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let us pray for that all those affected by the virus will feel the presence of our Lord's protection and love during this time. With God's help, we will overcome this threat. And so let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be in your house today. And as we gather as the church, not defined by four walls and a building, but by a group of believers that you have called out, that we have joined together to seek out and share the gospel, Lord. We pray that you would give us opportunities, not only to support those around us, but to share the love of Christ with those around us. Lord, we pray for those that have been affected all over the country and all over the world by this virus, and we know that we are not defined by fear. For you have not called us to be fearful, but you have given us a sound mind. You've given us the boldness of Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that we would have wisdom to know what to do. We pray that we would have protection. We pray for our healthcare workers and our EMS workers and all those out on the front lines of this epidemic, Lord. We pray that you would just help those that are seeking for vaccines and cures and that you would guide them as well, Lord. And Lord, most of all, we know we need to seek you with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, and our strength. The greatest problem that this world faces is the problem of sin, and that really is what we cannot forget, that we need to continue to share the love of Christ and the hope of Christ and the word of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the ability to gather together in this place, and Lord, may we worship you this morning, and may we learn and open up our hearts to hear your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. How is everybody? It's great to see all these wonderful, happy, smiling faces, and yours too, Jason. But anyway, I'm glad I had a little bit of music as I walked up this morning because I discovered from the parking lot on the way in, my left shoe squeaks. So it didn't make a squeaking noise as I come in. So, is anybody else nervous about the message today besides me? Or is it just me? Linda is, Sam knows is. I've already told Sam that hecklers would be dealt with harshly. Well, what it is it's not about getting up here and speaking in front of you. I've spoke to larger crowds before. I've even performed in a comedy club some. It's not that. It's just that this is God's message, and what I have to do, I have to get out of his way and let him deliver the message, not get in the middle of it. And I want it to be done right, so I have to turn it over to him. Being a type A personality, I'm one of those doers and fixers. I want to go do stuff. I want to fix things. I kind of get out there in front. You know, I'm going to say, hey, God, come on, let me show you what we're going to do next. You can't do that always. And that's the hardest thing for me, and some of you may be that way. Get out of his way and let him show you. But one of the things I need to ask you, people who have children and stuff like that, how are you explaining to your children that some guy in China ate bat soup led to a toilet paper shortage in Galax? Has anybody got those dots connected yet? If you do, let me know. I don't understand. Everywhere they go, they say, you got your toilet paper? Not with me. All right. Like we've done in the past 2 weeks, we're going to have a call to worship this morning. And it's Psalm 22. And we'll put this up here. I'm going to do the L part and you all do the P part. All who fear the Lord, praise him. The Lord has not hid his face from the afflicted. Those who seek the Lord shall praise the Lord. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, this is not a time for keeping silent. And yet we must confess that we have kept silent about you. Forgive us for keeping the good news to ourselves. Forgive us for not praising you in the midst of our workplaces, in the midst of our friends, and in the midst of our lives. Give us the strength to tell others about the great things and wonderful things you have done, so that future generations will celebrate your goodness forever. Amen. Okay, we're going to be continuing the series Journey to the Cross. And in Mike's message 2 weeks ago, he talked about and discussed sin, the curse, the fall, the law, and the original sin that began with Adam and Eve. And last week in Chris, his message talked about home, being at home with God, being with God, wandering, yearning, and citizenship with God. And this week we're going to talk about prayer and attention, despair or not feeling worthy, help, and rescue. Where do we turn to when we need help? You got something you got to do, you need a little help with something, who do you turn to? Well, it kind of depends on what kind of help it is. If it's technical, I call Mike. But everywhere, you could turn to your friends, sometimes it's your parents, neighbors, or even your church family. And all of these are good choices, but what if it's a difficult personal problem? A personal struggle, a weakness, a fear. Maybe it's something embarrassing. And you don't really want anybody to know. I recently read an article from Lifehacker by Kristen Wan. And the author was exploring and seeking advice from older business people who had been in the business world for a while. If something they had learned that if they could go back to their younger selves and do differently or give advice to young people coming up into the industries, what would that advice be? And a large number of those people said, wasting time by not asking for help. If somebody gives you a project to do or there's something you need to be doing or there's something you need to handle or something like that, and you know, like someone like me, I'll try to work through it. I'll try to push through it. I'll try to figure it out on my own. I may do it right. I may do it halfway, or I may not do it right at all. So what we've got to do, we've got to ask for help. And that kind of brings us to our first teaching point this morning. We waste time in our lives by not asking God for help. That resonated very strongly with me. When problems come up in my life or things happen like this, I try to fix it. I'm a fixer. I'm a doer. Let's go out. Let's do this. I'm going to talk to this person. You know, and it's not that that's bad, but sometimes I just need to say, God, how do you want me to handle this? What do I need to do? Think about it in your own life. Are you wasting time trying to fix things, family problems, work problems, by doing it yourself? Where you could just ask for God's help. Let's look at Psalm 122, verses 1 through 3. I lift my eyes unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip, he who watches over you and will not slumber. What that's telling us is God's watching over us all the time. He never sleeps. When you need help, what do? You look up in the mountains. You're looking up. Because that's where God is, and he wants us to look to him always. You know, the Bible mentions it in different translations a little bit differently, but about 154 times prayer is mentioned in the Bible. So what is prayer? How do we pray? When do we pray? What do we pray for? Can I be praying wrong? Does God always hear us? Does God answer all prayers? Do you ever find yourself asking these questions? I mean, I do. I mean, I have. And if we all are honest with ourselves, we all have asked this sometime or another. Where do we turn to when we need information and answers today? Anybody? I know every one of you in here has done it recently. You Google it, right? Google, yeah. Okay, I Googled prayer, and I got 819 million websites. I didn't have time to go to all of them, so I thought I might focus it down a little bit and try to narrow my search. So I Googled proof that prayer works, and it did. It narrowed it down to 26.5 million sites. I'm halfway there, and I'm going to try to finish them up later on. But it seems like prayer is something that's been talked about, discussed, written about, and everything a lot. So it's got to be an important subject for us. The dictionary says that prayer is a spiritual communication with God. And that kind of brings us to teaching point number two this morning. Prayer is an intimate conversation with God. That's all. It's simple, personal, confidential with the God who loves you more than we can know, who knows you, knows your problems, knows your weaknesses, and knows your fears. I use the word intimate because the word intimate brings to mind very close and very personal. And you usually think of this whenever you're talking about a spouse or someone you love dearly. You have intimate conversations with him. You talk to him. You're very, very close. That's what God wants to be for us also. I've got a short video this morning that kind of explains a little bit about prayer. But before I did, those that were here last week and watched the video that Chris had, that we had Earth here and we had Evan over here, and the little guy would dive in. Did you like that? I love that. Of course, I'm kind of fond of cartoons anyway, because now that I've got grandkids, it gives me an excuse to watch cartoons and not really feel bad about it. Let's watch this video.
What is prayer? Stale tradition. Ritual, a good luck charm, part of some religious checklist, done to appease a higher being so we can get what we want, or at least avoid the lightning bolt. Prayer has been redefined and twisted and confused, but at its essence, prayer is simply talking to God. The God who spoke the universe into creation, who gives us life and breath, who holds all things together. This God wants us to talk to him in the vastness of all that exists. He actually cares about us, personally, individually. How can we not pray to such a loving God, wherever we are? How can we not thank him for what he's done or cry out when we need help, when we need forgiveness, when we're afraid, when we give thanks for our blessing or question where our next meal will come from? Why would we live a life apart from him? It's not about formula. How could any posture or well-chosen word impress the author of time and space? It's simple obedience. God has made himself available to us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to trust in him, to acknowledge our dependence on him, to draw near to the one who loved us first. Approaching with confidence because Christ has torn away the veil. He's washed away the sin that kept us from his presence. And we live in relationship with our Lord. And so we ask that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven. That is prayer.
Pretty simple when you break it down like that, isn't it? Let's look at our teaching point number three this morning. Prayer is our greatest Christian privilege. I want you to think about that just for a moment. The very God that made all of earth and all of heaven and everything that we know, he's already given us so much. He sacrificed his own son to come here to earth to share with us how to be closer to him and how to love him as a father. We can just sit down and talk to him. We can just sit down and talk to him. Someone that great and that almighty, we can sit down and talk to him. Now, not only that, but the amazing thing is he listens. We have his attention. I don't know for sure, but I think he's got a lot of things going on, but he will sit and listen to us and hear us. And, you know, we need to be honest with him because he already knows everything about you. And see, that could be a problem for some of us. He already knows everything about us. He knows what we've done. He knows what we're doing right now. He knows what we're going to be doing. And when I think about that, oh snap, I'm in trouble. Because I know what I've done. I know what's going on with me now. I know that since we are sinful beings, there's going to be things coming up for me as well. But God still loves us, and he knows us. Jesus came to save us from ourselves. That's the primary purpose he came. He came and showed us how to be more personal with God. Now, God talks to everybody. It's whether you're in tune or listening or not. I was having a lot of difficulty. I had all these ideas and all this stuff going on and everything about this message this morning, and I was a little bit rattled with it. And Monday, God talked to me. Now, I didn't get the burning bush message. I'm still waiting for that one. I would love to have a talking burning bush. But mine came from a Bible app called YouVersion and came in my verse of the day. And this is the verse that God sent to me. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, Randy, but in every situation, by prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. There's another short one, and I think everybody can remember this one because we tend to remember those verses in Scripture that's short. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Now, both of these scriptures give us good advice. God wants us to come to him and to talk and discuss our lives with him and share with him that we're needing his help and we're needing his direction in our life, every situation. I mean, I've known of people that have prayed that God will give them the direction and everything if they should buy this car or this truck. I've got a job offer. Should I take that job or is it going to be what's right for my life? Now, pray without ceasing doesn't mean pray long, stretched out, eloquently speaking prayers, or pray for the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Pray without ceasing means make it a habit. God wants to be a part of our lives all the time, and there's a lot of things that distract us. Now, I have been known to crash a sermon at First Baptist Church in the middle of the sermon while Pastor Sam was talking, trying to get him to go with me to ride horses because it had been raining for a week, and on that Sunday it was beautiful and sunny. And I walked down through the aisle and I'm hollering at him to come over. And there's a couple little ladies over to my right. As I did that, I thought we were going to have to do CPR when I hollered out at Sam. And what his particular sermon was that week was talking about distractions. And guess what I was? I was the distraction. By the way, he did ask me to do that. Now, Francis Chan points out in one of his messages on prayer, it's not always about asking for what we want, but what he wants for us. Now, that's a really good message because back up in Philippians, it says that we can pray about anything. Now, I want to, if you ever want to read good stories, now in church a whole lot, we do a whole lot of our scriptures and everything from the New Testament. because it's talking about Jesus and how we're saved and all this other stuff. But if you want some really, really good stories, action stories, musical stories and everything, go to the Old Testament. Now, I'm going to give you a story this morning about someone who asked for God's help and direction in prayer. It was Elijah. Now, Elijah, in his days, and this story is coming from the NST version. That's the New Southern Translation. So I'm going to tell you this in that type of version. In the day of Elijah, Ahab was the king, and he had married this old Jezebel. Now, I'm not calling her a Jezebel. That was what her name was. And during that time, Jezebel was rounding up all the prophets of God, and she was killing them, because she kind of took a fancy to this god Baal. And she kind of put in place and helped put together about 450 prophets from Baal, and she was killing off God prophets. So God told Elijah, I need you to go talk to Ahab. So Elijah got a hold of Obadiah and sent him and told Ahab, I need to come and talk to you. Now think about that. Ahab's wife Jezebel is rounding up all of these commission. So he got permission to come to Ahab, and he said, listen, you just can't have two gods. We've got the Lord God Almighty of heaven and earth, and you've got your Baal. I tell you what, let's have a challenge, kind of like a duel. Ahab said, what do you have in mind? He said, I tell you what, you get all your 450 prophets together for Baal, and let us do a sacrifice, and let's let our God provide the fire. He thought, that's a pretty good idea. So they went and got two nice, big, strong bulls, and come over, and Elijah, and I got to love his confidence, and I'm just going to think, hey, you pick out the one you want. So they picked out the biggest one, prize-winning bull, and they took it, and he took whatever they'd left with him. They built their altar with rocks, put the wood with it, prepared the bull and put it up on there. Elijah did the same thing. He had his altar, everything over here made with rocks, put the wood up. And then the 450 prophets, they started about 9 o'clock in the morning calling on Baal to provide the fire. So they're singing and they're dancing around and everything. And old Elijah's sitting around watching them and everything. He says, hey, I ain't seeing nothing yet. I tell you what, y'all need to step it up a little bit. You all need to yell a little louder. Ain't y'all got any drums you can beat to? So they started beating drums and they started yelling louder and they started going all this other stuff. And they're dancing and everything. And about 12 o'clock, he said, I tell you what, you all really need to pick it up. I think Baal's asleep. He may be napping. He may be off doing something. You got to get his attention. Go ahead. Well, they started taking shifts. They had 450 of them. Some of them was dancing around and all this other thing. And about 3 o'clock that afternoon, Elijah said, hey, let's wind this thing up. I think you've had plenty of time. Let me have my turn. So God had to tell him this, because I wouldn't have done it. Elijah said, I tell you what, before we get started here, why don't you go get several jars of the water, and I want you to pour it all over mine, all over the wood, pour it over the bull, and just pour it all over there. So they did and everything. He looks at it and he says, you know what, that ain't enough. Do it again. So they come back with more jars, and they just pour more water over and over and over. Everything is completely soaked. And he's sitting there looking at it, and he says, something's missing. We need to do something else. I tell you what, could you guys dig me a ditch around this thing? Dig me a ditch. I need about this wide, and I need about that deep. So they jumped in, and they helped him dig this ditch around him. He stood there and looked at it and said, go get some more water and pour so much of it on the bull and the wood and the altar and everything until it runs into this ditch, and it's standing in the ditch. And they got to be thinking, boy, this guy's crazy. But they did it, and all the water's in the ditch and everything. And then Elijah turned his eyes to heaven. He prayed a very simple prayer. One of those fancy ones. He said, God, Lord of heaven and earth, I just pray that you might show the people that you are their God, and then they know that you are Lord over heaven and earth. And he steps back, and I'm going to tell you what, roaring down out of heaven, the fire came down, hit that thing. It blew up like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I started a fire out on the farm one day, and I thought I had kerosene. It turned out to be gas. It was like that. I mean, it goes out all these different directions and everything. And side note here, if you've only got a business this big, you don't need a half a gallon of gas. So this thing caught on fire. Not only did the bull burn up, but the wood burn up. This water-saturated wood, it burned up. The rocks burned up. The ditch that had the water around it was flaming up. And there was nothing left but just a level ground of ashes. The bull, the wood, the rocks, everything consumed. And the people dropped down on their knees and bowed to God because they knew he was Lord and Savior. Now, boy, that's an answered prayer right there. You know what? That's better than the 4th of July fireworks. I would kind of like to see that sometime. Maybe I will. Our teaching point number 4 this morning has got a little line afterwards. Does God answer all prayers? So if you're going along filling it out and everything, I want you to put your answer in that little line afterwards there. What do you think? Put your answer down. I've got a little video for us to watch here. It's by Dr. Charles Betters. And let's watch this before we continue.
How do I respond to unanswered prayer? And maybe a broader question is this: if God gives us suffering, should I pray for healing? Well, friends, there is no such thing as unanswered prayer. Now, you've heard this cliched before in so many different sermons. I am sure that someone has said this to you: God either says yes, or God says no, or God says wait. And that's true. Sometimes when we pray, God does say no. Most often, we don't like that when he says no. We want him to say yes. He's our Santa Claus up in the sky, and we want him to give us what we say we need the most. But then he turns around and says no. Sometimes God says yes, and even in those answered prayers, we fail to give him thanks. We fail to say thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. We just feel as though it's owed to us, or that just because we prayed it, it ought to happen. But I don't know about you, but the most uncomfortable times I have in my prayer life is when God says to me, wait. Now, many times I don't know he's saying wait. I conclude that he's saying no. But he may not be saying no. He may be saying just wait. I am doing other things over here and here and here that affect how I am going to answer that prayer. Well, if I'm experiencing some sort of horrific ailment, both either spiritually or emotionally or physically, should I ask God to heal me? Absolutely. God wants us to give him our needs. He wants us to say to him and acknowledge to him, these are the needs that I have. He wants us to pray for healing. He wants us to pray to remove whatever suffering is there. But he wants us to condition it as well. He wants us to condition it the way he taught his disciples to pray when he gave them what is that Lord's Prayer we pray all the time and sometimes mechanically, when he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We must pray in such a way that we are saying the will of God is what's most important here.
I could have told you that, but I think he did a much better job than I could. Let's look at the scripture, 1 John 5:14 and 15. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. But see, the thing about it is, the key verse right there is things that please him. And like in the Lord's Prayer, it says God's will be done here on earth. A lot of times, don't know about you, but for me, I pray, God, here's what I need you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what needs to happen. And I've got to stop myself almost every time and say, God, it's whatever your will is. I've got to pray, and we all have to pray for what pleases him. And that's a tough part. I want to share with you a little personal story right quick, and I'm going to try to make it quick. About 2 years ago, I hurt my right knee. I was riding a horse, and I was galloping along, and he took a little quick step and everything, and I planted in my right knee into the stirrup and everything, and when it did, it twisted. And I was having trouble with my knee, and I was limping a whole lot. I was in pain, and it hurt me for about, 6 or 8 months, and I was walking with a limp. And it hurt every step. I was icing it up. I was putting all this stuff on it and everything, but it continued to hurt. And I realized I had joined that group. Do you know what group that is? It wasn't until that time that I realized that at Walmart or CVS, there's a group of old men that walk with a limp. You know what? I was in that group. I go, oh my gosh, I'm in that group. I'm just going to have to live with it. Well, after so long a time, I was kind of just working through it, pushing through it. I was training for the Curtis Bartlett Fitness Challenge up at the Parkway Stables there. And I was helping prepare everything and work with it, you know, clear the trails out, build the obstacles and everything. And I was preparing doing that. And there's several walls and there's all these obstacles and everything. It's a lot of fun to do. I invite you to come out to do it. It's a personal challenge. And I was doing it and I was limping along and hurting and everything all the time. 2 weeks before the race, supposed to happen in October, I went over one of the walls. And as I went over the wall, it was about a 7-foot wall. I'd take a run and go hit it, bounce, and I was going to go over top of it. As I came over, my toe on my right leg caught the top of the wall. And I turned and twisted that same knee again. I'm not going to lie to you. It hurt like a son of a gun. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Well, I hit the other side, and I went ahead and finished out. You know, I was by myself, so nobody could see me crying. So I finished out and everything, and I come back, and I thought, man, I don't know what to do. So I'm icing it down. At my house in the freezer, I have 4 ice packs because I was going through ice packs like left and right. Actually, both knees had begun to hurt. And the doctor told me, he said, it's just arthritis, Randy. You're going to, you know, it's part of growing older. I go, but I'm not older yet. He differed with me. But anyway, I continued. So it came race day. And I had to go into town to pick up something. And I'm driving, and it's still dark out because we start this thing kind of early. It was on Sunday morning. And on the way back, I said, God, I need you to do something for me. I need you to protect me. I need you to watch this knee. I need to go through this race and everything. And I tell you what, if you can get me through this thing, I'll go to see a doctor and we'll have it looked at. But I need you to protect me. I really need this, you know. I'm pretty good half the time, but I need you to help me. Well, it came race day, and we started off and everything, and the course is 3.2 miles. I had done all the hard stuff. There's a log carrier. My son-in-law did it with me. We grab this log. We go up around this hill and everything. We come back. There's 7 walls you got to cross. There's all these different types of obstacles and crossover bars and tire flips and everything. There's even one place where you do a bucket carry. This bucket is a 5-gallon bucket filled with gravel, and you lift that thing up, and you carry this thing up around through a hill and everything and come back. Bucket weighs 52 pounds. So it's a lot of fun. I had done all of that. I crossed a creek. I'm into the bottom, so what we call it, and I had crossed a couple other obstacles. I had 2 more things to do, relatively simple things. I was at the 3.1-mile mark out of a 3.2. I had to pick up a 45-pound weight, hold it above my head, carry it and run it down and then come back up. Pretty simple. As I reached to pick that weight up, this right knee completely went out from underneath me and I hit the ground. I started to bounce back up and I have never had a pain hurt me as bad as that did. I've never had a baby, but I'm pretty sure that pain in that knee hurt worse than that. Just a different area. But it really did hurt. They had to haul me off in the little cart. I had ice on it. I was on crutches for 2 weeks. This was on a Sunday. I couldn't sleep at all Sunday night. You know the cover on your bed? It pushes on your feet. Did you know that? Normally you don't know it, but when you've got a knee that hurts and it pushes on your feet, it hurts. I was eating ibuprofen like Tic Tacs. It was hurting more than I could stand. I get up on Monday morning and call the doctor. I said, great, we can see you on Thursday. I go, wait a minute, you don't understand how bad I'm hurting. I didn't sleep for 3 days until I went to the doctor on Thursday. I was in a lot of pain. We did the MRI, and it come back that you have 6 connective tissues in your knee. I had tore 2 ligaments and sprained a 3rd one. So half of my tissue was damaged. Well, I asked Dr. Mayer if he would open up the MRI and let me see it. The tears weren't completely in two. As bad as it hurt, I figured they're just flopping around. But they were half tears. They were still attached, but they were torn a little bit. 2 of them. So we discussed, I said, well, when do we need to do surgery? He said, well, you know, might not need to. Let's do some physical therapy and you do some things like this. And my oldest daughter has a doctorate degree in physical therapy, so she gave me some coaching and some things to do. That was also the week that the Curtis Bartlett Fitness Center opened up. So I began, as a matter of fact, on the Monday that it opened, I was there helping while on one crutch. So I began to exercise and do the therapy and everything on the knowledge machines there. To shorten the story a little bit, as I have continued to work, and I've been very faithful with that and everything, on March the 9th was the anniversary date that Curtis had fallen. And we did a tribute to his legacy at the fitness center. And Curtis's badge number was 122. So we were going to perform 122 repetitions of whatever exercise that would have been signed up. And they partnered Sam and I up. As a matter of fact, I think Caleb says, let's put the old guys together. I think that's what he said. Sam and I both looked around. Who are you about talking about? But anyway, we did all these exercises, 122 reps. Now, this was 122 squats with weights. It was 122 power cleans. You pull it up and you come up like this. You see how much bending you do? We had to do 122 box jumps on an 18-inch box. Because of all this physical fitness and exercise that I have been doing, I was able to do that. We would do that 10 at a time. Sam would do 10, then I would do 10. We went backwards and forwards until each one of us had done 61 box jumps. The next day, I had absolutely no pain in my knee at all. God does have a sense of humor because I hurt in other places. But it's one of those things, God said, wait, I'm going to show you what you need to do. My healing came not from a miracle or a flash of light, but by teaching me what I need to do. The body is an amazing piece of equipment. We can heal ourselves or we can do ourselves, but God had to teach me a lesson to be impatient. Now, as we take this journey to the cross, going into Easter, let's remember to pray without ceasing, ask for God's will for us. Let's invite him to every aspect of our lives. Let's thank him for saving us, even when we know that we're not worthy and that we're sinning. He rescued us with his son, Jesus, which we will celebrate in a great fashion on Easter. Even in our deepest and darkest and desperate times in our lives, we can raise our eyes up and find the help and the comfort that we need from Lord God. And we have a video we're going to look at this morning that Mike's prepared for us, and let's watch that video now.
Hey, Hey guys, it's Pastor Mike again. If everything went according to plan, I should be back here in the States this morning. I should have landed in Charlotte last night around midnight. So I may be here, I may not. I'm not really sure on that. But I wanted to take a minute to bring you another word of encouragement this morning. Randy has talked this morning about how when we call out to God in prayer, He hears us, He cares about us, He delivers us. And so this, as we've gone through this journey to the cross each week, we're learning kind of these more and more of these characteristics of God, who God is and how He loves us and why He loves us and why the cross is so important. And so we started out with a fast the first week, fasting from food. Last week we added to it fasting from TV and movies. And this week, we want to challenge you again. You can carry over both fast into this week or just start anew. But this week, we want to challenge you to fast from social media. And now, this is another one of those distractions, another one of those things that we waste time with, and maybe you don't even realize it. I want to challenge you this week. If you've got a phone that has any type of tracking on it, I know iPhones have screen time, but you can go in and see how much time you've spent on different apps. I want to challenge you this week to actually look at how much time you've spent on social media in the past week. And I think you will be amazed at this. We're really the first generation that's come up that's had this temptation that we're constantly seeing what is going on in everyone else's lives. And we're looking at their highlights and we're comparing our lives to them. And it really does bring a new set of challenges to us. So this week we want to give a social media reset. And we want to challenge you to take time and to maybe you need to delete the Facebook app and the Instagram app or the Twitter app or the TikTok app or whatever it is that you're spending time on, to delete those off your phone this week. Just delete the entire app, and then later you can add those back on. Maybe you just need to pick times of the day that you're going to abstain from that. Maybe you need to set time limits for yourself and say, I'm only going to spend 15 minutes a day. Whatever it is, it's really up to you the level of this fast that you're going to enter into. But I want to challenge you to do it in a way that makes you uncomfortable, to do it in a way that really takes your time and gives your time back to you, that time that you've been spending that without even realizing it, what it's done to you. I think what you'll find out as we eliminate yet another distraction to our life, I think the things of God will come into focus very clearly in your life. I think when we take time to eliminate the social media and YouTube and videos and TV and all that stuff, the movies, what we're going to find is that if we can replace that with something better, something greater, time in God's Word, time with those people around us, time serving, you're going to find that you're going to really, your relationship with God, your relationship with other people, you're going to grow in your love. And that's really our goal through this. As we prepare our hearts for Easter, as we prepare our hearts to see the glory of the cross, sometimes it means we eliminate things from our life that are pulling us away from God. So I want to challenge you again this week, and know that I'll be praying for you as you go through this week. And don't use this as a time to brag about it and say, hey, look at what I'm doing. Just use this as a time to draw closer to God. God bless you.
As we enter into our response time, I want you to remember that you can stay there in your seat and you can pray, or you can fill out the cards on the seat backs, drop them in the boxes at the end. You can go to our cross over here. If you're listening at home, you can sit down right there and you can just pray to God to be with you. And remember, let's pray for God's will for each one of us. Thank you.